The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 6, text number 32. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari. Recorded on August 31st, 2012. In Timișoara, Romania.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Atma
Anupamyena.
Sarvatra,
sarvatra
samam
pasyati
ya
arjuna
sukam
va
yadi
va
dukam
sa
yogi
parama
mataha
Atmaupam
yena
sarvatra.
Atmaupam
yena sarvatra.
Samam pasyati yorjuna.
Samam pasyati yorjuna.
Sukham vayadi vadukham.
Sukham vayadi vadukham.
Sayogi paramo mataha.
Sayogi paramo mataha.
Atmaupam yena sarvatra.
Atmaupam yena sarvatra.
Samam pasyati yorjuna.
Samam pasyati yorjuna.
Sukham vayadi vadukham.
Sukham vayadi vadukham.
Sayogi paramo mataha.
Sayogi paramo mataha.
Atma,
Atma,
with His Self,
Anupam
Yena,
by comparison,
Sarvatra,
Sarvatra,
everywhere,
everywhere.
Samam,
Samam,
equally,
equally.
Pashyati,
Pashyati,
sees.
Yaha,
he who,
Arjuna,
Arjuna,
Sukham,
happiness,
Va,
or
Yadi,
if,
Va,
or
Dukham,
distress,
Saha,
such.
Yogi,
a transcendentalist,
Paramaha,
perfect,
Mataha,
is considered. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. He is a perfect yogi who, by comparison to his own self, sees the true equality of all beings in both their happiness and their distress, O Arjuna. Purport. One who is in Krishna consciousness is a perfect yogi. He is aware of everyone's happiness and distress by dint of his own personal experience. The cause of the distress of a living entity is forgetfulness of his relationship with God. And the cause of happiness is knowing Krishna to be the supreme enjoyer of all the activities of the human being, the proprietor of all lands and planets, and the sincerest friend of all living entities. The perfect yogi knows that the living being who is conditioned by the modes of material nature is subjected to the threefold material miseries due to forgetfulness of his relationship with Krishna. And because one in Krishna consciousness is happy, He tries to distribute the knowledge of Krishna everywhere. Since the perfect yogi tries to broadcast the importance of becoming Krishna conscious, he is the best philanthropist in the world. And he is the dearest servitor of the Lord. Nachatasman manushayishu kashin me priyakrittamaha. Bhagavad Gita 18:69. In other words, a devotee of the Lord always looks to the welfare of all living entities, and in this way he is factually the friend of everyone. He is the best yogi because he does not desire perfection in yoga for his personal benefit, but tries for others also. He does not envy his fellow living beings. Here is a contrast between a pure devotee of the Lord and a yogi interested only in his personal elevation. The yogi who is withdrawn to a secluded place in order to meditate perfectly may not be as perfect a devotee as a devotee who is trying his best to turn every man toward Krishna consciousness. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Bala Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sahagana Raguna Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadvaita Zavadutam Vrijjana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsha. So at the present moment, the entire world is deep in the dense darkness of ignorance. That's it. People are ignorant of their identity. They don't know who they are. How can you be happy when you don't even know who you are? It's a bewildering condition. Not to know who you are is a bewildering condition. They're suffering from amnesia. Everybody's actually experiencing an identity crisis. But they cover it over by Sanskrit. Everyone. Existential agony, actually, in everyone's heart. They try to forget about it by drowning themselves in sense gratification. It's a deplorable condition of the human society. There was one time in Dallas, Texas, one gentleman was out walking in the neighborhood. And while he was walking along the street, some little chemical reaction happened in his brain. And all of a sudden, he forgot who he was. Some little thing happened in his brain. He went into a state of forget from amnesia. He didn't know who he was, didn't know where his house was, where he had come from. He just found himself walking down the street in some strange place. He didn't know where he was. He had no idea. So for quite some days, many days, he was wandering. No one knew where he was, what happened to him. He disappeared. Finally, one day, a friend discovered him. Oh, George, what are you doing? Come on, get in the car, I'll drive you home. So, of course, then he had to go through, a psychologist had to be called in and help him remember. So, by associating with those things, which would reinforce his identity, his old, you know, high school scrapbook, his bedroom, his photo album, you know, everything that associated with his identity. He was associating with all the things related with his identity, and gradually came back. So this is Krishna Kanya's movement. You see. We are all suffering from amnesia, and Prabhupada has rescued us. He has rescued us from our suffering condition. And he's saying, don't you remember who you are? You see, here, but it's now associated with everything that which is related with your identity. You see. Now here you can associate with all those things which are actually what you're really into, which your real nature is. Now you can associate with things. Tulsi Devi, the deities, the holy name, Prasadam, devotees, the Vedic wisdom. All these things just to help you remember, oh, yes. And so it gradually comes back. Yes, I actually am the devotee of Krishna. I'm not this body. Because I didn't know anything else, I said, well, I guess this is me. Because that's what they said when they came out of the womb. They said, oh, look, it's a boy. Or, it's a girl. You see? So, I was thinking, well, maybe this is me. But just imagine, I say, oh, look, it's a white t-shirt. And everybody you met, they said, oh, a white t-shirt. You're such a nice looking white t-shirt. You're the nicest white looking t-shirt I've ever met here in Timisoara. If everybody told you your white t-shirt, after a while you think, yeah, Prabhupada gave one story. There was one man, I don't know if it was, maybe they were playing a joke on him, but the thing was, everybody, whenever he walked in the room, they'd say, ghost, ghost, ghost. Wherever he went, they would say, ghost. And he started thinking, I'm a ghost, I'm a ghost, I'm a ghost. So in the same way, you know, we started to think, yeah, it's me, I'm this body, this is me, this flesh, this blood. It's me. We look in the mirror and think, how do I look? Is it? It's simply conditioning. We've been conditioned. But it's pretty hellish, actually. I just saw one of devotees in Houston, Radha Baba Manaji. She's dying of pancreas, cancer of the pancreas, an incurable cancer. She was laying there waiting for death to take her. There's nothing she can do. She's laying there. Coming in and out of sleep, and, like a delirious condition, just a horrible thing. So I was, we were there with them, and I told the devotees, well, I said, yeah, we're all in line, you know, we're waiting in our queue for our turn to be in the same position as she's in. We're all in the queue, waiting for our turn. So the smart thing is to wise up, and you know. Take to the path of Krishna consciousness now. You see. Why wait for death the moment that, you know, I'm laying in my dead and think, oh, why did I waste my time in sense gratification? You know, instead of, you know, waiting for the moment of death to think, well, maybe I should get serious about Krishna consciousness now. I'm lying here in my death, and maybe it's time to get serious about Krishna consciousness. See, that's not, that's like this morning I gave the example, somebody who waits for the night before the exam, they cram for the final exam. No. You should prepare for the exam from the first day you attend class. The very first day you attend class. Prepare for the final. Start preparing for that final exam. So every day, every moment, we should be preparing for the death. You may say, Hare Krishna, this is so morbid. All you can think about is death. Isn't it? But wait a minute. They don't understand. It's like, you know, you're on the Titanic and you say, you ask yourself, where is the lifeboat? And says, oh, why are you asking such a silly question? This boat will never sink. I just want to know where the lifeboat is, just in case. You know, please tell me where the lifeboat is and how to get on the lifeboat. Oh, come on, don't ask such a silly question. There's a dance going on in the ballroom. Is it? But no, I want to know where the lifeboat, just in case. Where's the lifeboat, you see? So I'm prepared. I can know wherever I'm on the ship, I always want to know where's the nearest lifeboat, just in case. So that is Krishna consciousness. You have to realize that death can come at any moment, and you have to be prepared at any moment to take shelter of Krishna. It's like in American history, there was a famous pastime. We're ingrained into us, you know, the great America, you know. Everybody has their, I'm sure in Romania you had the same thing. But everybody is ingrained, you know. So we were taught about Paul Revere's ride. The British were coming. Some British soldiers were coming, I don't know, maybe to harass the colonists or something, for some reason. And there was a famous thing. Somebody stood up in a light tower, and it was like one lamp by land and two lamps by sea, or vice versa. In the middle of the night, as soon as they find out how the British were coming, they did a signal in the lamp tower, and then Paul Revere headed out. They were coming by land, you see. So he headed out to the countryside, going to every farmhouse. The British are coming! You know, every door, and all the men, they would wake up, and on the cold night, you know, pull the blanket off, get on their trousers, grab their musket, and they all got out there, and they got out there and they got together and they creamed the British. So it's a famous, you know, for Americans, it's a big thing. Yeah, we creamed the British. And because Paul Revere, and they called the Minutemen. They were sound asleep, you know, nicely under the covers of the pillow, the nice blanket on the cold winter night, you know, all nice, snug and, you know, snug and comfortable. And then the call came within 1 minute, they're out of that bed, they're in their trousers, their boots, their jacket, with their gun, they were not there ready to fight those babies. They're Minutemen. So we have to also be Minutemen. Instead of the British coming, it's death is coming. Instead of Paul Revere, it's Prabhupada. And the sages, the Vedic sages, you see. They are coming, they're alerting. Death is coming, death is coming. Death is coming. Death is coming. We're being alerted. So we're prepared. And we should be Minutemen. All right, immediately, yes. Prepare myself. Immediately prepare myself. But the trouble is, I've many times quoted, Ahani ahani bhutani ganshanti yamalayam shesha shtavar mishchami kimashtayam utahasadam. Even though countless numbers of living entities are being dragged, screaming and kicking to the abode of Yamaraj, everybody is thinking, well, not me. It's not going to happen to me. I got my house, I got my job, I got my girlfriend, I got my dog, my guitar, you know. It's not going to happen to me. I got my laptop, I got my iPhone, hey, I'm protected. So, you know, and then many of us said, Kim Mashchaya Mataha Param. There is nothing more amazing than this. So that's a fact, you know, really, it's an amazing phenomenon that's existing in the world. Everybody's oblivious to the fact that death can crush them at any minute, and they don't care to prepare themselves for it. They don't care to prepare themselves for it. One who's prepared for death, you see, he's not that he's morbid, he can be truly happy. He's a liberated soul. That person who is prepared for death is a liberated soul. Because now he doesn't have a problem with it. You see. He's liberated. It's like Prabhupada said, from the very day of initiation, one achieves immortality. You see. As soon as you take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, you see, By initiation, Prabhupada explains, then immediately you achieve immortality. Of course, one should not rush into such a serious commitment, but one should prepare oneself, you see, and study very carefully what is the meaning of such a thing and how I can, you know, someday. One should be very seriously pursuing them. Because we have to actually enter into our eternal identity right now. That I'm a completely surrendered servant of Krishna. That's the whole point. I have to enter into my eternal identity as a completely surrendered servant of Krishna. That whatever Krishna wants, I'm here to do anything. I have full faith in Krishna. Whatever he arranges for me, I'm willing to do anything he wants. You see, that is Krishna consciousness. I don't care what Krishna wants to do with me, anything and anything, anything and everything, whatever he wants to do with me, I'm prepared. That mood of complete surrender to Krishna completely destroys anxiety from the heart. If you're thinking, well, I'm willing to serve Krishna under this condition, but under that condition, no, I couldn't do it. Only under this set of conditions will I serve Krishna. Is that surrender? Or is that business? No conditions. That is Krishna consciousness. No conditions. And that is liberation. Look at Lord Jesus. Prabhupada gives that example. He knew that tomorrow I'm going to be crucified. He could see the future. He could see what was coming. He said, Father, if you so desire, please let this cup pass to me. In other words, may I not be crucified tomorrow. But your will be done, not my will. From my side, I prefer not to be crucified. But, but whatever you want, that's the bottom line. Whatever you want. That was, see, that's pure surrender. Not my will, but thy will be done. So, Christ consciousness is Krishna consciousness. There's no difference. Christ showed what is pure bhakti by that mood of complete surrender to the will of Krishna. They say, well, how could that... Krishna is not mentioned in the Bible. Well, how you can say that the, you know, the Bible, the God of the Bible is Krishna. But it's obviously Krishna. Because God says, God created everything. Everything, he's the source of everything. And Krishna reveals himself as a Krishna. It's obvious Krishna. It's just they didn't use that word. They used different words, but the same concept is there, Krishna. Christ said, our Father who art in heaven. So, when Krishna says he is the Father, in Bhagavad Gita, he says, I'm the Father, seed-giving Father of all living entities. So that is the same person. Christ is praying to Krishna. And even Prabhupada told us, Christ had gone to the India. He'd seen Rathayatra in Puri. He saw Jagannath. And Prabhupada told us in San Francisco because Lord Jesus and Lord Jagannath, they have so much love for each other. You see. Now, therefore, Jagannath has come to the Christian world. He came to America, you see, because of that love between Jesus and Jagannath. Prabhupada told him in his lecture. You see. So, religion is actually one. Anybody want to divide it? They don't have a religion, they're sectarian. They're not a religionist. They may say they're religious, but actually they're not. They're irreligious. They're dividing, they're cutting religion into pieces. You can't do that. You can't cut God into different pieces. Well, there's an Islamic God, there's a Christian God, there's a Hindu God, a Jewish God. You can't cut a Sikh God. You can't cut God into pieces. It's like saying, well, We don't want to share the sun, so we're going to cut off a piece. It will be the Romanian sun. Can you divide the sun like that? Now we'll have an Indian sun, Romanian sun, a Bulgarian sun. No. The sun is there for everyone. You can't take a little piece of it and make it separate. So religion, the same thing. You cannot do that in religion. You cannot take a little piece out and say, this is Christian religion, Hindu religion, Buddhist religion. You can't do that. Religion can't be cut into pieces. Religion is one, to become a lover of God. It comes from the Latin word religio, which means to relig or reconnect with God, relink with God. You see. Relinkian. I'm a relinkiest. Religionist. Relinkiest. I'm relinking with God. You see. So anybody in any religious tradition, if they develop pure love for God and they give up their sinful activities, they give up sense gratification. You see, they can become a pure devotee. A Christian can become a pure devotee, a Muslim, a Buddhist, anyone. If they give up material sense gratification and fully absorb themselves in God consciousness, they can become pure devotees. We are not a sectarian organization. You have to join the Hare Krishna movement to be saved. We don't say that. But we do say that this is the highest level presentation of theistic science. If you want to have a perfect understanding of Christianity, perfect understanding of Islam, a perfect understanding of Buddhism or Judaism or Sikhism or Jainism or any of these things, then you must read Prabhupada. And then you'll have a perfect understanding of Christianity, Judaism, Islam, etc. You see. Read Prabhupada's books, then you can have a perfect whatever you want to be. Christian, Sikh, Jain, Jew, it doesn't matter. So you read Prabhupada's books, follow these instructions, and you become perfect in whatever religious tradition you've come from. You see. And this is our Krishna consciousness movement. This is the topmost theological, educational institution on the whole planet. So we have to be representatives. We're meant to become professors. It's like our Murari Krishna Prabhu. He's a professor. He's a computer science professor. Yes. So we are all meant. Brahman means we give second initiation. Brahman means you're supposed to be a professor of Vedic science. That's what it means. Second initiation. You see, Brahmana. Brahmana means one who is learned in Vedic science and one who teaches Vedic science. He is Brahmana. So we are training up professors here. We are professor school. Vedic science professors. You can go out and educate people all over the world. Missionaries, a missionary school. I want to train up missionaries who can go out in any part of the world and establish Krishna consciousness movement. We want that every town and village should have a Krishna consciousness center throughout the whole planet. Millions and billions. This 300, 400 centers we have now is nothing. We want to have 300 million Krishna consciousness centers, ISKCON centers around the world. 300 million ISKCON centers. We're just in the very, very early pioneering days of it. Very, very early pioneering days. As Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, when the high court judges well tilak, then we are successful. That means any court case we take, the Vaishnavas will win. Any case, you know, are slaughterhouses legal? No, they're illegal. Is abortion legal? No, it's illegal. We need to have Vaishnavas in all the Supreme Courts and all the Vaishnavas, majority of Vaishnavas in every Supreme Court of every country on the whole planet. Then we're becoming a little successful. So that's how much work we have to do. I mean, we have to educate, now at the days of democracy, we have to educate the electorate. We have to do massive Sankirtan, Harinam, and book distribution Sankirtan. We have to inundate this planet with books and the Harinam, Sankirtan, and Prasadam. You see? We have a huge, massive responsibility to live the whole world. Prabhupada told us on December 17, 1973, in Los Angeles, become guru. He said, just become perfect in your understanding of Krishna consciousness and become guru and deliver the whole world. Wow. That's an order that Prabhupada gave him. Okay, Prabhu, today this is your Sankirtan assignment. Distribute this whole van full of books. Now here's your lifetime assignment. Deliver the whole room. It's a huge thing. I think we'd like to come back life after life for many lifetimes to finish up the job. On my own side, this preaching is so sweet that I wouldn't mind coming. I mean, it really is ecstatic. I mean, in the spiritual world, you can't kick Stephen Hawking in the face. I call him Dr. Hee Hawking, you know, like an ass. Hee Haw. Hee Hawking. I couldn't believe it. I listened to one. I check out these people sometimes on the YouTube. And he said, I copied it on my computer. He says, this whole universe comes out of absolutely nothing. What is scientific about that? You know, you're supposed to be a scientist. A scientist means you do the experiment to prove your theory. Right? You can't just make a theory with no facts, with no experiment to prove it. That's not accepted as a science, as a valid theory unless you have evidence. Yet he makes this theory, everybody applauds him. The whole universe came out of nothing. Show me anything that can be brought out of nothing. I mean, when was the last time you popped a pot of popcorn out of an empty pot? Have you ever taken an empty pot and made popcorn out of it? No, you got to put some kernels in there, a little ghee or cooking oil, and then you can get pop, 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 all the popcorn comes out. So how in the world can he put this forward and be accepted as scientific? That everything came out of nothing. I mean, there's no evidence of such a thing. No experiment has ever been done. Never in the history of science have they taken nothing and gotten something out of it. But yet he's applauded as the biggest brain on the planet today. Can you imagine? Government leaders. You can have an audience with all the government leaders as the greatest brain on the planet. We can see that's why I said the deep, dense, dark forest of delusion. That's what we're living in right now. I mean, it's so dark. It's unbelievable how dark the present situation is, how much people are covered. He puts out books, they're million sellers, infant million sellers. He's so popular. So we really have our work cut out for us, is all I can do. Prabhupada says the devotee of the Lord always looks to the welfare of all living entities. In this way, he is factually the friend of everyone. He is the best yogi because he does not desire perfection in yoga for his personal benefit, but tries for others also. So the pure devotee, and that's, well, we're not there yet, Prabhu, Matajis, but we have to strive for being pure devotees. We really do. Because Prabhupada wants it to be. Pure devotee means he has no desire except to please Krishna. He has no desires for personal sense gratification. His only desire is to please Krishna. So that we have to pray for and beg for. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Because that will make us very dear to Krishna also. The people benefit and we will benefit. Krishna says there's no one more dear to me than that devotee who always looks for the welfare of all living entity. So we have to strive for that, come to that consciousness. Bhaktivinoda Thakur very nicely states in his prayer, his song, Kabe Habe Bodha Saini Mama. He says, when will I forget about my own comforts and go out to actually act for the welfare of all living entities? Kabe Habe Bodha Saini Mama. When will that day be? He's thinking now, this Bhaktivinoda, he is caught up in material sense gratification. But when will that day come? When I'll forget about all this nonsense sense gratification and only think about delivering the living entities. He's begging and praying Krishna for that day and he can come to that consciousness. So what is our position? Actually, Bhaktivinoda is describing our position and what we should be thinking. We should always be hankering. When, oh when, kabe habe bolo sedin amar. Kabe habe bolo sedin amar. When, oh when, will that day be mine? This is how we should be hankering. When will that day come when I get out of Maya? I'll reject this sense gratification. I'll stop being attracted by beautiful women. You know, stop being carried away by my tongue. Stop being carried away by sleep. When will that day come? Krishna, help me. This is how we should pray. So, any questions? All right.
If a devotee becomes attracted to association with materialistic people, what can he
if
do?
If a devotee is
attracted or
compassionate,
attracted
to them,
association,
to the association of
materialistic
people,
and what should he do?
What can he do and what can another devotee do to help him break that attachment?
If a devotee becomes attracted to materialistic association, we see this in the pastime of Lord Chaitanya. His personal servant became captivated by the gypsies called the Bhattaharis. Somehow they captured him and he gave up being Lord Chaitanya's personal servant. You can imagine to join this group of materialistic people. He was Lord Chaitanya's personal servant. He was directly with God himself. And he fell down in Vatahari association. So what to do? Such a situation. I was having an interesting talk about this same question yesterday with your temple president, Mari Krishna. And I concluded in that discussion that there's two types of members. You see, those who are strictly, everyone should feel, such a person should not feel he's rejected from the movement. Like now you're an outcast. It's like in India, Prabhupada established the life membership program. So what are the regulator principles to become a life member? Do you know, anyone know what the regulator principles are that you have to follow to become a life member of this kind? You have to pay the life membership fee, and besides that, there's no rules. I mean, you can smoke, you can have illicit sex, you can be a meat eater, it doesn't matter. If you pay the fee, you're a life member of ISKCON. So we shouldn't, such persons, we shouldn't feel, make them feel they're ostracized. I had another realization today about it because I have a software, and there's the pro version and the light version. And I was thinking, well, if somebody can't take the pro version, which means no illicit sex, no meeting, no intoxication, no gambling in 16 rounds, that's the pro version of Krishna consciousness. Then let them have the light version. Just come and chant and dance with us. Take prasadam, you know. If you're addicted to the sense pleasure, well, it's okay. You'll get over it gradually. Come and take prasadam with us. We love you. You're our brother. We love you. You see, actually, this whole concept, I'm trying to preach a new concept now. I call it spiritualfamily.org. I have a new website. I try different concepts on the internet, see how they preach in different ways. I have one called spiritualfamily.org. But actually, we're all one spiritual family. Everyone. We're all the children of Krishna. We're all one spiritual family. So everyone should, when they come here, they should feel that, you know, that they're a part of our spiritual family, because actually they are. Even if they can't follow the pro version, let them follow the light version. Krishna consciousness light version. Light Krishna consciousness. Just sing and dance and feast and, you know, and you want to do a little service, sweep the floor. Doesn't matter if you're, you know, you fell down, you have a girlfriend, you know, whatever fallen, it's okay. It's, you know, it's not okay for us, but it doesn't mean now you're not welcome here. It doesn't mean that. And there's a very nice verse in the Bhagavatam, verse canto, my dear Vyas, even though a devotee of the Lord sometimes falls down somehow or other due to material association, he does not undergo material existence like others, fruitive workers, etc. Because once one has tasted the nectar of Krishna consciousness, he can do nothing but remember that ecstasy again and again and again. Even as they fall down, they always remember that taste they got, you see. It never goes away. So they're not really as far away as they may seem when someone falls away. It seems like they're far, far. Actually, they're not as far away as they seem to be. Because inside, they still have that feeling, that attachment to Krishna. Just they're carried away by their senses right now, but it's only temporary. So those people should be given extra love, extra mercy. That's what she should do. Be extra kind. Go that extra mile to do everything to help them, be encouraged that you're a member of our family, we love you, you know. In this way, make them feel they're a part of the family. It's okay. We understand it happens sometimes to the best of us. I mean, even one of our GBCs, she was one of the early leaders, actually, of our movement. But she fell away for some time, completely fell down. And then she came back super strong. They made her a GBC. She came super strong, you see. And she fell really badly down for some time. So, you know, just because somebody falls down, they can come back and become a very powerful leader. A very great preacher. We should never give up on anyone. Always give them encouragement. Next question, you had one.
May I please ask, in Srila Prabhupada was saying in 1968 in Seattle in a lecture that we have to act, feel and remember Krishna. What does it mean to feel about Krishna?
We have to feel Krishna?
Yes.
Ah, I have a very good answer for that I got from Prabhupada. What do we normally tell people you should do when you're chanting your japa? Fix your mind on the name, Prabhu. Right? Fix your mind on the name. We've always heard that. But I've been around for 41 years, and that's the standard mantra for how to chant the mantra. But recently, I found this. I sometimes look through the Veda base. You know, it's like a gold mine. I found one letter that Krishna wrote to Balavi, Valavi Devi Dasi. And he gave her instructions on how to chant japa. He said, when you're chanting japa, feel the presence of Krishna. And he said, if you can't do that, then fix your mind on the name. That's like the second best thing to do. The first thing, best thing is, well, how can I feel Krishna? I mean, Krishna's not here, is he? Feel the presence of Krishna. How could I feel the presence of Krishna? He certainly wouldn't be here with me, would he? But wait a minute. Isn't the name Krishna, Nam Avatar, isn't the name Krishna himself? Is that a myth? Or is it a fact? Is Krishna his name himself? Is it myth or is it fact? It's fact. Therefore, Nam Avatar. Krishna is his name. So Krishna is actually present. That person, Krishna, who's the source of all existence, as what does Bhakti Siddhanta call him? The all-pervading cognizant. He is fully present in that sound vibration, Krishna. And he's even more fully present when you chant the entire Hare Krishna mantra. That is a special meditation aid to help you become even more intertwined in Krishna consciousness. Instead of just going Krishna, 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 Krishna. There is more potency in Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. That's why Lord Chaitanya gave it to us. That's why Narada Muni gave it to us. So, feel Krishna means to feel the presence of Krishna. Now I think, what does that mean, really? It's like you have, there's somebody who's your dearest friend and you've been separated for 20 years from that person. And one day they walk into the room, what would you feel like? Oh, right? So we've been separated for millions and billions of lifetimes, and now that person who is most dear to us, who's, we were Vrijabhasis, or at least Vaikundabhasis, you know, something in the spiritual world before we came here, and we were totally absorbed either in Lord Narayana or Lord Krishna, totally engrossed. Is our dearmost object of affection, 24 hours a day. Always thinking of him, always seeing him, always relating with him at every minute. For millions and billions, you can't, for countless ages, you can't even measure it, calculate it. And now we were separated from him now for millions and billions of lifetimes, and then to come back into his presence. What would be the feeling of coming back into the presence of that person? Who was my dearmost friend, who I've been separated from for millions of years, what would be the feeling of coming back into the presence of that person? It'd be pretty awesome, wouldn't it? So we have to try to chant in that mood. Right? We're not fully there yet because we're still, you know, platform of Vaidhi Bhakti rules and regulations. What we're talking about is spontaneous level. The Prabhupada is encouraging us to develop those feelings even now at the Vaidhi Bhakti stage. You see, because that will help us to advance in Krishna consciousness, to feel that Krishna is present. Oh, Krishna is present. Well, just like you can say, well, what would I feel like if Krishna walked into the room right now? If he was actually present, what would I feel like? You see? It's like your mind doesn't believe it, you know what I mean? We know it, but we don't believe it in that one sentence. The mind doesn't believe it. No, it does not believe it. It's just some, you know, vibration, like Mary had a little lamb or something. It's just some vibration. You know, that's, Papa told us in L.A., he said, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, and you were thinking, maybe. We were initiated devotees. Prabhupada knows the skepticism in our hearts. It's just like it states here. He knows he knows their happiness and their distress. So Prabhupada could see in what way we were Krishna conscious and what way we were still materialists. He could see into our hearts exactly where we're at. You can look all the way into our hearts and see the depths of our how Krishna consciously were and how much also in mind we were. Prabhupada could see everything. You couldn't hide anything from Prabhupada. So just try to feel Krishna's presence when you chant his name. Try to feel Krishna's presence in the deity. You see? Treat the deity as a person. That's why we bathe the deity. That's how we dress them. That's why we polish them with their brass deities so they look beautiful and effulgent. You see? That helps us to feel their presence. They are present. So the more service we do, the more we feel their presence. That's why we offer arati to them. While we offer them bhoga, all of these things, so we can feel their presence. See, a self-realized devotee, he doesn't have to do all this dealing. He sees Krishna everywhere. But we're on that level. We have to, by deity worship, by proper deity worship, and the proper rules and regulations of bhakti yoga, we have to feel, learn how to feel Krishna's presence in the deity and in the man. So there you go, feeling Krishna, feeling his presence. Anything else? Yes.
How can we stay in the proximity of persons that are not devotees but not be influenced by their mentality, ideas, minds?
How to remain Krishna conscious when I'm with non-devotees?
Yeah.
Like at your job or something like that?
Yeah. Job,
family. Yeah, I've been there also. I was a brahmachari for 14 years, and then my GBC arranged a marriage to me, and then we were told that now all the householders should be ideal examples. They should all get jobs and give monthly donations to the temple and then maintain them. They should give money to the temple and maintain the temple. So I followed the instructions of my authorities. I went out and got a job and computer programmer I was working. And so I know what it's like, especially after 14 years as a brahmachari, it's really a culture shock. Not another in corporate America, you know. After 14 years as a brahmachari ashram, corporate America with Thai and, you know, the whole thing here. So, you have to have really good sadhana at home. That's the key. You have to have really, really good. You have to, if you're not living here in the ashram, you have to make your home an ashram. You're living, you have to make a very, very Krishna conscious living quarters for yourself. Pictures of Krishna, books, no nonsense. It's completely Krishna conscious stuff where you're living. Completely inundated with Krishna consciousness. So when you go to your home, you're just charged with bhakti in the atmosphere. And then later on I was in another position. I may have told you all the story before, but then I was a salesman for MCI, which is those days was a leading telephone company in the U.S. And I would put a picture of, you know, put a picture of Krishna there on my desk, Prabhupada and Krishna. And then we'd have a 15-minute break, I would chant japa, just walk back, get on my cubicle, you know, my japa being the Hare Krishna, chanting japa there at the workplace. And then when sometimes I take the co-workers out to the car and play them a tape, you know, the Govinda prayers, share the Govinda prayers with the co-workers during the break. And then the big day for me was the day I decided to wear tilak to live. I was doing telesales, you know, and that day I sold. I was really one sale out of another sale. My boss was like, "Wow!" He said, "Mr. Bridge, I like my karmic name, you know, like Bridge Basi." But anyway, he said, "Mr. Bridge, I don't know what it is on your forehead, but from now on you must wear it every day. Because he got paid according to how much I sold, right? So he was really happy to see those sales coming. And so from then on I wore a tilak every day to work, and you know, it was very nice. So the thing is, you have to just utilize, you know, to be as Krishna conscious as you can get away with it. You know, if you can get away with wearing tilak to work, why not? I mean, you know, depends on your job, depends on the situation. Some people can't do that. You know, you have to just be intelligent and see what you can get away with according to the atmosphere, according to the management of the company, etc. But I would come out as much as possible. You know. It's like now that all the gays are, quote, coming out. So the Hare Krishnas also should come out as much as possible. You know, not be ashamed, you know, like, I'm going to come out and tell you, you know, I'm a devotee of Krishna. That's what I am, I'm a devotee of Krishna. And why are you so happy? Because I chant Hare Krishna. We should just not be afraid, we should be able to come out, you know, like the gays are coming out, we should be able to come out. Yes, I am Krishna conscious. You know, it's great, I love it. You know, I don't need to hide it anymore. I'm Krishna conscious. Of course, some situations, if you came out of your job, you might get hired. according to your situation. You know. You have to be intelligent according to your situation. And, you know, be intelligent. Whatever you can get away with. But the more you can actually come out and be who you are. And actually, I know one devotee. He applied for, you know, a regular corporate job. I forget the devotee's name. He's in Brisbane, Australia. I forget his name. But he applied for a corporate job. And he put on his resume, I'm a member of the Hare Krishna movement. And our philosophy is world domination. And I hired him. I said, boy, you are really aggressive. Yeah, we want somebody like you on our team. You're aggressive. World domination. Yeah, come in, boy. You're in. So, you know, he was really coming out. He put on his resume, I remember the Hare Krishna movement, and our philosophy, our intent is we want to take over the whole world. That's our mission. We want to take over the whole world. And they hired him. So, you know, actually being a Hare Krishna is the most valuable asset for any company, because we're moral people. We don't cheat. We're happy. We're moral. Yeah, you know, we're enthusiastic. I mean, we're determined. We're patient. A Hare Krishna devotee is the ideal employee. Actually, the employer should say, we prefer Hare Krishnas. Because they're the best people. They're the best people. So, and then have a really good evening program as well. And you can just pray to Krishna. My dear Lord Krishna, here I am in the mouth of Agasura. Shaggy speaking, and I'm just begging you to protect me here. I'm surrounded by this big snake. I think I'm swallowed inside a snake right now, and I have to do all these activities and for the big snake, and please protect me. But here's another secret from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Because he was working for the British government, if you can imagine. You know, not a very spiritual organization. He was working for the British government. And they loved him. He was so expert, he could do all the cases, decide all the cases, in half the time that the other magistrates could do. And but he had a very nice song. He says, I'm not working, earning money to support my household, but I'm working and earning money to support your household. He's praying to Krishna. So if you think you're earning money for your own sense gratification, there's no way you can be Krishna conscious in your job. You understand, every penny of what I earn is Krishna's money, And it should all be, it's all to be spent in Krishna service. So that's why I'm saying you spend money to make yourself a nice Krishna conscious atmosphere at home, to cover your future, save money for future emergencies, and also then give as much money as you can to the Krishna conscious movement. So in this way, you'll feel that you're serving Krishna every day. That's the key. You have to turn it into bhakti by using every penny or whatever your currency is here. Every bit of that money should all be spent in a Krishna conscious way. And then you feel really good about it. Oh, I'm earning this money and I get to use this money in Krishna service in different ways for my own personal Krishna consciousness and to help the movement. It's the most wonderful feeling, actually, to earn money and spend it for Krishna. Okay, we've got a few minutes left. Any other questions?
You said about that we should see everybody as a family member, life member of ISKCON, and let them come and do whatever they want.
Everyone should feel encouraged to feel they're a member of our spiritual family, even if they can't follow the principles. Yes, okay. Definitely.
Okay, so somebody feels like, you know, they want to bring the dog into the temple. So we should let them feel that they're...
Let's say they bring their dog to the Sunday feast. Okay. Right? Yeah. Or we can have them, we can have them tie their dog with a leash outside and give them some prasadam. Then you can hear the kirtan through the door and feed him some prasadam, give the dog some prasadam.
They will feel that they're
kept. We say, we love your dog. It's very, such a wonderful dog. What is he, a beagle, a German shepherd? Oh, such a beautiful, wonderful dog you have. You tell them, yes, one of our great gurus, he said that the dog is our spiritual master. You can tell them how much we appreciate the dog. But from the dog, we can learn how to serve our spiritual master. He's our guru, actually. The dog is one of our gurus. He teaches us how to serve the master. So we're so happy you brought your dog, and we have a special place for the dogs out in the courtyard there. You can leave them out there, tie them with a leash out there, the dog will be purified by hearing the kirtan, and we'll give him some nice prasadam at the end, so he can give you human his next day. Prabhupada said that in Dallas. He told Dwarkadish Das, he was a little boy at the time, Prabhupada affectionately called him Mr. DDD, Dwarkadish Das. Prabhupada called him Mr. DDD, a little boy. Initiated disciple of Prabhupada as a little boy. Mr. DDD was his affectionate second name from Prabhupada, Mr. DDD. So Mr. DDD, he wrote Prabhupada that we fed some ducks at the duck pond, some prasadam. And Prabhupada said they'll become human beings in the next trip. So we're so happy you brought your dog, we'll give him some prasadam so he can be a human being in the next trip. And tell them like that. And make them feel really good about their dog becoming Krishna conscious. But not in the temple, though, of course not. Actually, yeah, not in the temple, of course not. My dad's stool on the floor, you know. They don't know. Of course, most of them are trained. But they're dirty anyway. You can't come in. See, in Vedic culture, the dogs don't live in the house. If you have a dog, they stay outside. Even in Chaitanya Bhagavata, Lord Chaitanya had a puppy. But the animals never come in the house. They never come in the house. That's Vedic culture. The animals never come in the house. But they're given all due care. It's like the famous story of Shiva and the saint. Everyone know that story from the Chaitanya Charitamrita? It's a nice story. Shivananda Sen, he was the wealthy organizer of the Tirtha Yatra to Jagannath Puri of all the Navadvipa Vaishnavas. He organized the Tirtha Yatra every year. So they have buses now, they have airplane now, they have taxi cab now, they have bicycles now, they walk. So they would get to a river and they pay the boatman and they take them across the river. So as they are walking along, the pilgrimage party, you know, on the way to Puri, one dog started tagging along with them. And So one day the dog became lost, and Shivananda Sen was very concerned. He actually fasted out of concern. Where's the dog? But then the dog showed up. They got to a river, and you know everybody has to pay a fee. So the boatman said, "The dog can't come for free. There has to be a fee paid for the dog also." So they, Shivananda Sen paid for the dog also, crossed the river. And then again, the dog became lost, and he wasn't found again. But they got to Puri, and the dog had gotten there first. It was the Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya was throwing the green mango pulp. The dog was going, "Hari Bol! Hari Bol!" He was chanting Hari Bol. The dog was chanting, and he was. And then the dog was gone again, and it was learned he had gone back to the spiritual world. And there's another pastime, even in our ISKCON Lila. In Mayapur, many, many years ago, in the early days of Mayapur, the devotees, there would be the evening program, and they'd all go to the prasadam. So after all the devotees would clear out of the temple, you know, dogs aren't allowed in the temple, right? But after all the devotees went to the prasadam, one dog would come, you look around and he comes sneaking into the temple and it offers obeisances to the deity. I'm not that serious. There's a Jananda Maharaj has written a book of all these different stories. This dog must have been a devotee in his previous life, you see. He did some sinful activity, but he took birth again as a dog in Mayapur now. And he knew he's a devotee, but he's in a dog body, you see. And he would come in every evening and offer, when the coast is clear, nobody can come and get out. He'd come in and offer his obeisance to the dog. The dog body. So if someone brings their dog to the temple, you don't know. It could be a great devotee who made some offense and became a dog, and now you can give that dog his chance to get liberated from his dog body. You never know. And all kinds of amazing things are going on every minute, but we don't know it. At every minute, all kinds, Krishna's making unlimited amazing arrangements at every minute around us, for us, each and every one of us. Krishna is making unlimited amazing arrangements for each and every one of us at every second. But we're so dull, we're so blind, you know, we can't understand it. We have to have faith. And we just have to, you know, follow Krishna, follow Guru, follow Krishna, follow Prabhupada very seriously, you see. And then everything will become revealed, how Krishna is acting at every minute, even with every little move of the blade and breath. Now we have three minutes left. One more question, okay.
What should we tell people who claim they hate all religions because a lot of atrocities have been made in the past in the name of religion?
He's asking that what should we tell people who are so much against religion, and because they see that there's so many atrocities happening in the name of religion.
We should agree with them. You're right. They have completely, the pure thing, religion, has been totally perverted by the so-called religious people of today. I couldn't agree with you more. And that's why that's why Krishna says, Saradharman Purudraja, give up all religion. Just surrender to me. The fact we're not into all these nonsense religions. They are ridiculous. You see. They take religion as something, somebody who will gratify their senses. God is their order supplier. They're all greedy. They're all selfish, and that's why they fight and kill each other. Even within Islam, the Sunnis and the Shiites kill each other. They torture each other. You see. What to speak of, you know, between different religions, even within one religion. It's just, it's crazy. Because it's all based on, everyone thinks that they're the center and God is serving their sense gratification. That is not religion. That is irreligion masquerading as religion. So Krishna doesn't tell us to give up actual religion. He's telling us to give up all this irreligion which is masquerading as religion. tell them that is not actual religion, that is imitation religion. A real religious person is a saint. That's how you can see someone who's a true lover of God. They love everyone, they love everything, even a little ant. They love a little ant. They wouldn't eat a living entity. They wouldn't eat a cow, you see. Someone who's truly religious would never eat meat, never eat meat. These people that eat meat, they're not any religious people. They're irreligious. So it's a great preaching opportunity. I would take full advantage of it and give them a nice, wonderful... You have to explain things to people in such a way that they like it. And then, as you go deeper into the conversation, then you can, it's like the saying, in like a needle and out like a plow. You give them, make, you start off in this way that they really go, wow, I really agree with that. Yeah. And get them totally with you, and then you, as they're hearing, they're getting purified, and then you can explain. You can explain in an in-depth way, which actually completely enlightens them and gives them a whole new vision of what the meaning of religion is. You see. Just like one of the best strategy in preaching is called yes, but. Prabhupada, look up yes, but in the Veda base, you'll see Prabhupada saying it again and again. Yes, you agree with them. You don't say no. You say yes, but and you explain there are, you know, so it's a very good strategy in preaching, the yes but strategy. Yes, but a very effective technique for preaching. It's the yes but technique. Okay, our time is now up, and tomorrow we'll get together from going deeper and deeper into this wonderful sublime science of Krishna consciousness, so mercifully given to us by the greatest Vaishnava Acharya in history, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Dandi Goswami Maharaj Gopal. Raja Vijaya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.
Shri
Shankar Shankar Prabhu
Ki Jai.
Iskand Devotees Ki Jai.
Shri Gauranita Ki Jai.
Jai.